Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You should be here at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. There is no other place in radio land, and I checked, where you have free access to a former college football and NFL star. Hook 'em. It just doesn't happen. No one else employs someone like Brian Jones.
What's wrong with you, man?
Who's sitting, a lot of things, who's sitting here waiting for your phone call to answer anything in your college football brain at 855-212-4CBS.
I think you're still affected by that block of your shot in high school. By Kaczynski.
Wait, look at the memory.
Is that his name?
Take that, CTE.
Is that right?
Close enough. I'll give it to you.
Oh, okay.
We'll give it to you.
All right.
The Russian judge says it's allowed. Hook him, my God.
They didn't hook anything. Yeah. And I didn't expect them to hook anything on the road at TCU, and TCU's beaten them the last four times. This is the fifth year, I believe, TCU being in the Big 12, and the only time Texas defeated them was that first year, their initial foray into the conference. And I expected TCU to wax my Longhorns offensively, and they did that. The offensive line couldn't do – I mean, to wax the Texas offense, I should say, not Texas offense with the guys that have been hurt on that offensive line, a bunch of youngins up there, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't make no hay. Shane Bouchel started again, and they did score a touchdown. That's about it. And defensively, Texas hung in as long as they could. They just ran out of gas. Those guys ran completely out of fuel, and TCU rolled. I think the final was 24-7.
That sounds right.
In that one. And so it's on to the next one, which is Kansas. That stadium will probably be half empty with Kansas coming in after Baylor waxed Kansas. Baylor gets their first win of the year. But Texas expected exactly what they got. That's what I thought, that O-line of Texas would be overwhelmed. They were. And the defense would have to win this ball game by forcing some turnovers and get maybe a pick six here and there. That did not happen.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. There are questions to be answered. Toby in Arkansas is first this morning on CBS Sports Radio. Toby, good morning.
Good morning. What's up, Malafalas?
You got it, baby.
Brian, I got a good question here for you. You know, Arkansas is one of the teams that's down this year. You know, they're talking about coaching changes. I want your opinion on what you think is going to happen at Arkansas, who would be a good fit at Arkansas, and what is up with all of the coaching changes that's possibly going to happen in the SEC this year.
Isn't it crazy? And you look in the West, and now back-to-back losses for Texas A&M, Auburn thumped them, and Arkansas almost losing to Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. Exactly. We know they're good in baseball. But Toby, we were sitting there watching that game. It was like, what? Are they actually about to lose to the Chanticleers in football?
And they had scored 14 points with like the last 5 minutes to not lose that game.
You got people leaving their tickets. They're not even trying to sell them. There's a story about one fan just left their tickets wrapped around a concrete post outside the stadium for anyone to pick up. They didn't want to go. We don't want the money for them. Nothing here. Here are the tickets. Whoever wants to pluck them off this brick awning here. I mean, it's getting crazy there. And Jeff Long has said even before the season that you know, they don't win at all costs there at Arkansas in football, which was news to a lot of Razorback fans. So they have to be reeling there. The fact that Coastal Carolina played you that close, you almost lost that ball game, and even though you won, it still feels like a loss. And that's why Toby
it should count as a loss.
Yeah, yeah, Toby and others are sitting there like, what is wrong with our football program? Who would be the best fit? Houston Nutt would be the best fit.
Coach
he won
Nutt.
There. Three-time SEC coach of the year. Come on. Go back. What's old is new again. What's wrong with that? That's my choice, Toby. Okay?
What about Rick Neuhauser? Does he want that job?
He wants the Oregon job, right? I'm sure Rick would take it. We'll see how Surfer Boy does in Hogland, but I'm sure he would definitely take that. I don't know who, what names. You know, the hot names, of course, Iowa State, Matt Campbell, they lost on the road at West Virginia this weekend, fought back in that game and had a chance to win down there late in the game. But, you know, Matt Campbell's hot. I'm trying to think of some of these other young coaches people maybe wanted to poach. But he would probably be tops on the list. And then you got, we mentioned all the problems in the SEC West. And, of course, Butch Jones, they win versus Southern Miss, still 0-5 in conference play. And you got everything mounting there. I reported Saturday, you got Antoine Davis, a former All-American offensive lineman, a number one pick. Speaking of the Eagles drafted him number one back in 91. He and I were in the same draft class, played in a college all-star game. Leading up to the draft that year, and so no Antone, and he's been the head of their Vols for Life program, and he just resigned and wrote a scathing letter, resignation letter, about how he alleges intimidation and abuse from Coach Jones. So it's just getting weirder and weirder there in Tennessee land. So you have that job that's in flux. You got Arkansas. Who knows what happens with Bielema, because his record in conference is upside down. And he's got bigger games on the horizon. I think they have LSU this week. So he'll probably lose that. And then what's going on at Texas A&M, the amount of points they gave up back-to-back weeks, that has to be frightening, and looks like they're hitting the skids like they usually do this time of year.
Yeah, it's crazy. They just, and I already forgot the actual number, but they just don't win SEC games in November under Kevin Sumlin. Yeah, I don't know
haven't.
What changes.
They haven't since
hear.
Manziel was there.
Yeah. Aaron in Oregon is up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Aaron?
Hey, Brian, what is going on with FSU?
No offensive line, and that was my upset pick, and Syracuse was in that ball game, and they actually could have tied it. They missed the field goal. I think it was about 40-some yards, the field goal there at the end of the ball game, and then they go to overtime, and they probably had a chance to win. But FSU cannot block to save their lives, and it's bothersome to me, because I've been the guy that carried the water for Rick Trickett, that offensive line coach. You know, we've always sung his praises. The guy's Vietnam vet, an old Marine, and he's a stickler for being tough in the trenches. And for the last few years, they've been one of the worst in the trenches. Their quarterbacks get beaten up, and so you have what you have this year. Of course, you lose DeAndre Francois in the first ball game, but aside from that, they still haven't been able to block anyone.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Plenty of time left to dial that phone number and ask the Brian Jones any college football question you've got on your mind. And again, I'm offering you the little stumper of when was the last time Stanford played in snow before
Saturday.
You want
me to answer?
No, in case somebody wants it.
Oh, I know. Right, they're looking it up.
Go ahead.
Oh, in case somebody wants it. They're going to look it up.
Go ahead.
It was 1937, am I correct?
Six.
36.
Idiot.
typical
football player.
They played in round that off, okay? They played in sleet and snow there on the Palouse Saturday. Yeah, that was crazy. You know, we had to look that one up.
That 36 game was at Columbia.
Really?
A lot of nerds in that game.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Weren't they smart enough to call the game? Say, hey, why don't we wait for better weather?
No, in 36, there was real men back then.
That's right.
They were in leather helmets, didn't care about neck injuries and concussions and weather.
Mm-hmm.
They just played football.
Okay.
Back on the phones with Larry in California. Larry, welcome. Hold on, Larry. Stand still. There we go. Now Larry's on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, being from the Bay Area, seeing Jim Harbaugh up close with the 49ers at Stanford, he never really seems to win big games. And my question for Brian is, how much longer do you see him at Michigan?
I think he's going to be there for the long haul. Where do they go? Who do they turn to? You get rid of Rich Rod. You have Brady Hoke in there. And Brady Hoke, when he was let go, similar record. I think the record is comparable to what Harbaugh has amassed at this point. But I think they're going to have to stick with him for the long haul. The offenses look better now with this new quarterback whose name I am forgetting.
Brandon Peters?
Peters, that's it. Yes, Brandon Peters. And they rushed for almost 400 yards in that game versus Minnesota this past weekend. I think it was 370, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, one dude had 200, another guy had 191. Yeah, 371
right.
total.
Yeah, they didn't 371?
Yeah, they didn't unleash Peters yet. They're still waiting. No, they're saving him for bigger foes in Minnesota.
Well, they're going to have to unleash him at some point. But I think they're going to have to stick with him, Larry. How many times are you gonna turn over that coaching staff? And he's one of their own, like Hoke was, as far as coaching. Had being a coach there previously before becoming the head coach. So I think he's going to be there. But he has to start defeating the rivals. He has to defeat Michigan State. He has to defeat Ohio State especially. And I give him a shot now because they have a damn good defense. Offensively, that's where they've been having their difficulties, especially at the quarterback position. Maybe Peters gives them better play there, and he'll have some games under his belt before they get to Ohio State, and they get that game at home this year. And with their defense, that gives them a shot. Now, it's about that offense and that O-line, and if they can continue to play like they did this past weekend, I think they have a shot versus Ohio State. But he has to start winning those big games. I always go back to him, John Cooper, when he was at Ohio State. He won a bunch of games at Arizona State, gets the job there in Columbus, and he couldn't beat Michigan. And so even though he had a great record elsewhere, you can't win the rivalry game, especially when you go to these iconic programs, you're out the door.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Your time for the next few minutes to ask Brian Jones any college football question. Tyler in Oregon joins us now on Geo and Jones. Tyler, welcome to CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Quick, first of all, caller a minute ago, I mean, 4 a.m. on the West Coast here in Oregon, and we're worried about Florida State. we can't score a touchdown.
Hey, man, maybe he's from Florida.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and along those lines, Coach Neuweisel back in the Pac-12.
Oh, really come on!
No, he won't go to Oregon. Nobody in Oregon. The alum will eat him alive.
At Oregon State?
No. You said at Oregon, and I mean,
we didn't mean the Ducks. There was a story last week about his interest in the Oregon State Beavers job. That's what we should have said. Yeah, not the Ducks. No, Taggart, I think he's going to probably stay there. His name has been mentioned. Willie Taggart's name has been mentioned in conjunction with the Florida opening. Of course, he was there to help lead at USF and leverage that into the job at Oregon. No.
We just got to stay with the process, though, right? I mean, Taggart's the guy.
Yeah.
I think Taggart's the guy.
I agree. They got their heads beaten in by Washington this past weekend, but good to see Herbert back.
All right, Tyler.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too, Tyler. Thanks for the call. I guess I owe Coach Neuweisel an apology because I didn't realize that was him working the Georgia game in the afternoon with, was it Carter Blackburn?
Yeah, Carter and Aaron Taylor. Yeah, had a three-man booth, and they will do that for the rest of the month.
So I didn't realize that Coach was on that broadcast. So at halftime, when I see Les Miles, I go, oh, how about Neuweisel going baller and saying, I'm not working two games. So bring in Coach Les for the afternoon. I'll see you in primetime for LSU-Alabama. Then I get to LSU-Alabama, and there's still Les Miles. So I text Brian, where the is Neuheisel? And I give him my theory. He goes, oh, he was working the Georgia game. And I was so disappointed that he didn't big time you in the afternoon.
Had to work.
You and Zucker were roped into this split doubleheader, but Neuheisel just rolled in for the big show at night.
No.
But no, he was actually at a game.
It was cool, too. It was a long day. Yeah, you get there to the facility around 10 o'clock, and you sit there and watch football all afternoon.
Yeah.
It was great. Excellent barbecue they brought in late in the evening. So you sit there and eat all that, eat too many cookies, at least I did. So from a gut standpoint, it wasn't too good. But from the football action, it was dang good. And we'll have doubleheader this week, Florida, South Carolina. I know you're cringing. But Missouri beat the brakes off of Florida. Another team.
That was my question. Did you see that game?
Yeah. We had to watch that mess. Oh, That was terrible. You think you have an interim coach that takes over. Usually there's a little life in the football team, but nothing for Florida. Nothing whatsoever. And Malik Zaire, I'm sure they're not missing you in South Bend. They probably didn't want to let you get on the bus to go back to Gainesville either. So
that's why you weren't playing until now.
Yeah, that was bad. But it was across the board, not just offensively. Defensively, no one showed up in that ball game. And so that's another program that's just going to have to tread water until they decide who they want to lead the program again. You know, but going back to the Alabama game, the significant injuries in that ball game.
Yeah.
A couple of linebackers, they've been playing with Sean Deion Hamilton for a little while early this season, and now he goes down again with a fractured kneecap. You got Mac Wilson, another linebacker, who had foot surgery yesterday, so he's probably out for the rest of the season as well. And so the young guys get to step in and plug those holes, and now you take on an offense of Dan Mullins who wants to run the rock and run the option. So can you confuse these younger guys with your system? You know, going up against Jalen Hurts in practice probably bodes well for you. It helps you get ready for any quarterback because he's as smooth as they come, and he showcased that again the other night versus LSU. But that defensive linebacker room, they took some hits. And then you had Mika Fitzpatrick. He had the hammy issue, and then we thought he'd broken his neck.
Right.
You had the guy, I forget who it was, maybe Gage jump. I mean, these guys jumping these days, someone's going to put an end to that. It's going to get real ugly, one of these guys. They keep jumping, and it's not going to end quite like they would hope. But Mika Fitzpatrick, his head hits the undercarriage of the ball carrier, and neck snaps to the right, and we're sitting there thinking, well, it has to be a head injury, definitely a neck injury of some sort. But he goes back in the game with the hammy he had hurt running on defending on a deep route, and then he gets the neck or shoulder injury there. But they used him in situational spots like nickel and goal line.
Yeah, after basically chaining him to the bench because he wanted to get back in the game so
bad. Exactly. So we'll see how worse for where he is going up against Nick Fitzgerald and the Mississippi State Bulldogs, who've now won four straight after getting walloped in back-to-back games, Georgia and Auburn. So some attrition there for that defense of Alabama.
So you're going that's the primetime game, huh? Georgia Auburn's in the afternoon.
Yeah, it'll be in the afternoon. We'll have a 12 o'clock kick. That'll be Florida South Carolina, and then
It's not. I thought you were doing 3:30 and 8. Doubleheader this
next,
time.
And this week I'm stealing money. I'm just gonna admit it. When we have a 12 o'clock game, and then we have a 3:30, just stealing money because we do nothing. We won't have a pregame show,
right?
So we show up, and Adam Zucker will sit there and tee up Florida, South Carolina. They'll go straight to the game, and then there may be a small fill between the game, depending on how long it goes. And if there is a fill, it'll be short. You know, only thing that would really thrust us into action is that if there's a rain delay, a weather delay, or something of that sort. But then, you know, we'll have halftime of all those games. But pretty much, you just sit there, eat like we did this weekend, eat without a lot of talking. So we're stealing.
It sounds like you should have an extra Bellini before the show.
No.
Barely working. You could be buzzed.
No drinking before work, man. Come on.
Such a professional.
Yes.
Such a professional.
That's right.
Brad Heller will join us in just a second with an update. Then, more importantly, James Laurinaitis of the Big Ten Network joins us for more Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin breakdown. Everything else, too, from Saturday. All when we come back on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
This is MLB legend Pudge Rodriguez, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Gio and Jones, fresh from the weekend. Alongside Brian Jones, I'm Andrew Bogish. In for Gio, Greg is back tomorrow. James Laurinaitis will join us here in just a second after we get an update from Brad Heller. Hello again, Bradley.
Hello, gentlemen. The Philadelphia Eagles, best record in the NFL, 8-1. They put up 51 on the Broncos yesterday, 51-23, the final in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz adding to his league lead with four more touchdown passes, but all head coach Doug Peterson wanted to talk about was the defense.
Defense is unbelievable. Defense is unbelievable. Takeaways to stop that team. I think they, 30-something yards rushing at the time, and they're playing. It's fun to watch our defense right now.
Maybe not for you, Bogish, but Jared Goff, four touchdown passes yesterday, 51-17. They routed the Giants on the road.
I've been playing for a long time, gone through ups and downs, and right now we're playing well, and right now we're doing a good job, but didn't happen for no reason, so we need to keep doing what we've been doing and,
Rams are 6-2
and not let off the gas pedal at all.
NFC West, the Seahawks falling a game behind.
Everybody's bunched in tight. Cousins takes, gives to Rob Kelly. Rob Kelly with the drive to the goal line. Redskins touchdown! 59 seconds to go, and the Redskins take the lead.
70-yard drive in just 35 seconds. Redskins beat the Seahawks in Seattle 17-14. The Sunday night game, Raiders top the Dolphins in Miami 27-24. A couple of touchdown runs for Marshawn Lynch. The Saints won their sixth in a row, 30-10 over the Bucs. New Orleans is 6-2. Carolina 6-3. Panthers top the Falcons 20-17. Cowboys get to 5-3. Beat the Chiefs in Dallas 28-17. Dak Prescott, two touchdown passes to Cole Beasley. Also had a touchdown run. Adrian Peterson ran for 159. Cardinals beat the Niners 20-10. San Francisco still winless. Jaguars over the Bengals 23-7. But the story in this one was the A.J. Green, Jalen Ramsey fight. Both were ejected late in the second quarter. NBA, Celtics won their eighth in a row.
They were going for real, man.
That was real. That was real.
I'm laughing. I mean, AJ, I've had enough. I'm through with you. We know Jalen Ramsey can talk some trash, and he just went after him like hyenas after raw meat.
And you see, when he was on the ground, one of the Jaguars teammates of Ramsey came and like ran into him and like flipped Green over. It just just were somersaulting on top of each other. It was pretty ugly. Both were ejected. NBA, the Celtics won their eighth straight, 104-88 over the Magic. Cavaliers lost to the Hawks, 117-115. Atlanta ending an eight-game losing streak. Cleveland's just 4-6 to start the season. James Harden, 19 of 25 from the field. He had his first 7 three-pointers, career-high 56 points. Rockets crushed the Jazz, 137-110. Kristaps Porzingis set a new career-high with 40. Knicks came back from 19 down, beat the Pacers 108-101, guys.
Brett, thanks so much. As promised to the guests, let me go for the first time this morning and welcome in longtime NFL vet, former Ohio State Buckeye, and now currently you can see him on the Big Ten Network, hear him on SiriusXM. It's James Laurinaitis. James, I'm Andrew. You know Brian. What's going on this morning? Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great. Let's just get to it, man. Iowa. What's your takeaway from that, butt-whipping? And I don't mean to pile on here. I mean, I'm just as shocked as anyone else. What's your takeaway from that game?
Well, I was extremely shocked. I've played at Iowa, and Iowa is a very difficult place to play, especially when you're highly ranked and you go in there. It's Kirk Ferentz, in the way that he does things, very old-school football. And what was surprising to me was that when I was at the Penn State game the week before, and when you're watching that game, and I don't know if you felt the same way, I was just thinking, goodness, Penn State is making all these plays early on, but Ohio State, I felt, was just losing it. It wasn't like they were winning. We were outgaining them. We were moving the ball. We were stopping them. But obviously the kick return from Barkley, the fade to Deshaun Hamilton, those are two plays where I'm like, goodness, it's 14-3, and we haven't even blinked. But Ohio State had been moving the ball offensively, right. Total yards. You know, it felt different.
Yep.
Watching the Iowa game, it just looked like they lined up and were like, you know what, we're going to run our offense. We're going to attack your linebackers and safeties with our tight ends. And I expected them to come out and do what they did to Penn State, where they were trying to shorten the game. You know, let's run the ball really effectively early, make the game shorter, limit possessions to Penn State. They came out throwing on first down and being aggressive over and over against Ohio State and really had them on their heels. And you could really tell from watching that football game that that's the first time that defense had seen what a traditional pro-style offense looks like. You know, you can play all these spread teams, but when a team gets in two back with Akram Wadley and just says, hey, you know what, we're in 22 personnel, two tight ends, two backs, we're going to run it right down your throat. And, you know, it's a simple zone plays. Can you stop it? And it's like they'd never seen it before. It was eye-opening.
That was big boy football. You're correct. And last week versus Penn State, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Ohio State's still in this ballgame. Even though they're down 18, they're down 15, they're still in this ballgame. You never felt like Penn State had control of it. And yesterday or Saturday, it was a totally different feel because Akram Wadley rushes for 119 yards, the first back to rush for over 100 versus Ohio State on the season. So I'm in agreement with you. This is Iowa saying, we're going to punch you in the mouth. and we're going to play old school football and see if you can hold up. And, of course, Ohio State couldn't hold up. And what compounded the problem was the fact that you had the four interceptions.
Yeah, and I felt early, you know, obviously the first play of the game, you don't want to have a pick six. But still, I felt early in that game, JT was still hitting some explosive passes downfield, and I was just thinking, well, eventually they're just not going to be able to keep up, right? I mean, that was my thought process. I was like, Ohio State's offense has been extremely efficient. You know what? Great job jumping the route by Armani Hooker. Good job, pick six. But over and over, you saw the beat ball to Dixon and the McLaurin. You're like, all right, they're gonna you know, eventually the defense will step up and the O will pull away and you know, we'll be on to Sparty. And it just never occurred. Like, the defense never gave the O a chance. And then, as you saw, when JT, and I love JT, but when you're playing from behind and you get in that kind of crunch moment of, and it's amazing how quick it can change in football, as you know. A week ago, everyone's saying Heisman, he's the hero, and now in Columbus, everyone's like, see, I told you JT Barrett is like. I'm like, listen, when you play that position in the second half, and your defense isn't getting you a stop, and you're saying to yourself, every single possession has to be points, that is a crazy amount of pressure to go through emotionally 2 weeks in a row. And not making excuses for him, he played bad, he'll admit it. And really, it was such an anomaly, because we don't expect this from Urban Meyer teams, especially within the Big Ten. You know, goodness, if they would have lost by three, by even a touchdown, you say, all right, chalk it up to being a tough place to play in Kinnick. But the fact that it was 55 points, you're just like, man, that's one of those. And I mean, that was the most points put on them since the 94 game, when Kerry Collins and Penn State put it on my old coach Luke Fickell, who was my mm-hmm. D coordinator. If we ever brought that game up, it still hurts him to this day. And so this is crazy. I still am in shock that Iowa put 55 up.
Well,
still in
shock. James, I think fans get angry sometimes when we talk about players not being ready to play or having a hard time kind of bouncing back from a big game. But, I mean, it is difficult to put everything into Penn State, get that kind of an emotional win, and then immediately, reshift your focus onto a new team, even on the road. And sometimes there is a hangover, right?
You know, there can be. The thing is I've been around Coach Meyer enough now to know that he is such a good motivator. I think even now in his career, and there was an article about it recently about how he's kind of transferred from an X's and O's guy to more of a motivator, a guy that just wants to get the most. He loves like the what's the new mission. Like, I think if you heard any of his interviews last week, he talked about how he treats his guys as elite warriors. And when elite warriors execute a mission in the Army, they celebrate for 24 hours and they get their next mission. He loves that mindset type stuff. I truly believe that if there was any just messing around during the week, he kind of would have put an end to it and would have been, quite frankly, honest about it and vocal about it. He's a blunt coach. You listen to his interviews, you're like, okay, well, maybe he doesn't like to be there half the time, but he'll give you an honest answer at least. And I didn't feel like it wasn't an emotional thing with them. I feel like literally Iowa just was like, we're going to come out and punch you in the mouth, and they didn't know how to react. It was crazy. I honestly don't know. I watched the game again last night. I'm still trying to figure out what
the heck is going on. First of all, I'm impressed by that you watch it again. Good for you. You're tougher than me.
Listen, when you're in this line of work, you can never be too overprepared. You just never know. You never know what the producer's going to throw at you today. We do a show every week called Buckeye Weekly for Sports Time Ohio. That's filmed in Big Ten Network, but it shows on local Sports Time Ohio, and I'm like, it's all Ohio State stuff. I'm like, that's going to be a really fun show today.
James Lauren.
Because the reality is they have Michigan State with Mark D'Antonio coming into town, coming off a huge win, and Sparty has always played Ohio State well in Urban Meyer. They've been a bigger thorn in our side than even Michigan has the last, I would say, 10 years, dating back to the 98 when they upset Ohio State in Columbus. And Mark D'Antonio is doing a great job up there. So if they don't get their emotions back this weekend, they won't even be going to Indianapolis representing the Big Ten East 2 weeks off of the biggest game in college football. It's crazy.
James Laurinaitis, college football analyst for the Big Ten Network, longtime NFL linebacker and All-American, a legend there at Ohio State. Join us on CBS Sports Radio, G.O. and Jones. You mentioned Penn State. This would have been a huge opportunity for them if they were able to get that win. I know they had difficult circumstances with the huge rain delay or weather delay, lightning in the area during that game versus Michigan State. Have you had a chance to look at that one and decipher what occurred? What was the downfall for Penn State?
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting to watch that game and to think, for one, how efficient Brian Lewerke has been for Michigan State and the emergence of him. I mean, back-to-back 400-yard games through the air. I think it was more the fact of him making plays down the stretch than it was, and Penn State wasn't making it. That was a surprising thing. They had McSorley uncomfortable. They obviously bottled up Saquon Barkley early. Still, whenever I watch Penn State play, anytime Barkley touches the football, I just hold my breath. But I think what their weaknesses are starting to get exposed. People know that their offensive line isn't able to hold up as well as you would like them to. And as far as for the amount of elite talent that they have, their offensive line really just can't give McSorley time to be comfortable and can't give Barkley time to really get going anymore. You look at the last, really since Indiana, when they played the Hoosiers, I mean, the Hoosiers had Barkley bottled up for a half. I think he only had 70-something yards in that game. He was under 100 rushing. And then Northwestern, they had him to, I think, negative one a half or 1 yard at half. And then Patty Fisher gets ejected, the linebacker from Northwestern, for who I really like for targeting. Then, you know, Saquon has like a 60-yard run after that. But he finished still with like 70-something yards, and one of them was a 60-yarder. And then Ohio State, he had the one big 30-yard run and nothing after. And then this week against Sparty. So it was. I think Penn State, you're right, though. If they win that game, even on a field goal late, you're saying to yourself, well, goodness, is this a situation like last year where maybe Penn State can get hot down the stretch and sneak in, you know? And unfortunately, now you're looking for the Big Ten team's going to get in. It's going to have to be Wisconsin rolling. They just can't win out. Wisconsin has to roll out. Like, Wisconsin has to be impressive against Iowa this week so that people look at it and say, well, gosh, if Iowa beat Ohio State like that and then Wisconsin steamroll Iowa, you know, and kind of does one of those matchup things. And then, you know, you hope that Ohio State looks impressive on the way out. So when they meet in Indy, that's the only chance the Big Ten has at getting a team in there. Otherwise, they'll be sitting outside looking in this year.
Meanwhile, James, how about those Rams, huh?
Man, how about that? I tweeted last night. I was excited for my guys that are, you know, there's still a lot of guys on that roster that I've gone to battle with, and you're happy to see them, knowing the frustration that you go through. Nothing like being in like week eight, knowing that you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, you know? And so to have some of those guys that are going through this and knowing that they're in the driver's seat, and not just hoping for things to turn, but actually being like, listen, we are in control of the division, and to be so impressive. I mean, Sean McVay has to be coach of the year, right? You look at the fact that I think last year, I heard a stat this morning, and last year they scored, I think, on like 22% of their drives, which is worse than the NFL. Now they're scoring on like 58% of their drives or something like that, which is best in the NFL.
I think that's Doug true. Peterson would be in that number for Coach of the Year
as well.
Hey, I wanted to ask you because you know, the Giants up here won one football game. They look horrible. Look like they quit yesterday, a 3rd and 33, and they give up a 52-yard touchdown. You played on a 1-15 Rams team your rookie year in the league, and having enjoyed all that success at Ohio State, then you enter into the league and you have to deal with a season like that. How did you go about doing that as a rookie?
I had to look at some of the real, like, the real vets that we had in our locker room. Guys like Steven Jackson, OJ Atagwe, the safety from Stanford that was a vet at that time and just very much had a lot of wisdom about him and basically explain it to you that you're not only obviously playing for your teammates and your guys, but you're playing for job security. You're always, no matter what, like the front office will not care what the record is when they evaluate you and whether, you know, you're a guy that quit on your guys. There's a lot to play for. And for me, I've always loved the game of football so much. And when you're a rookie, you're like, heck, is it frustrating? Yeah, but, I mean, what are we talking about? I'm playing in the NFL. You know what right. I mean? This is my lifelong dream. You don't got to get me fired up. The hardest thing is practice. Like, mm-hmm. And that's where you start to see things starting to fall apart is when guys, are you still going to study as much? You can go out there and play on Sunday. Everybody's going to be fired up on Sunday, but can you go out and really study film? Are you really kind of trying to find an edge in week 13, 14, 15 as you get down the stretch? Or are you just saying, goodness, all these teams run the same thing? You know, it could be very easy just be like, especially against division opponents, right? It can be very easy to be like, oh, we played the Niners earlier. They're going to run, you know, the Harbaugh Niners. They're going to run power and counter and all this stuff. I don't even got to watch tape. You know, I can just sit here and go through plot practice. And that's the hard thing. Can you stay committed to all of that? And I really was just trying to stay focused for one, when you're a rookie, you're still trying to prove yourself. But when we went 1-15, 7-9, or 7-9, when the NFC West was terrible, Seattle beat us and went to the playoffs, and that's when Beast Mode's run happened against New Orleans. And then we went 2-14. So being in year three, where you're kind of like, I was trying to play for a contract year, and you're, you know, or at least trying to get extended, and you're 2-14, and you're like, gosh, this isn't rookie year anymore. Like, I've already had 2 years to kind of prove myself. Now you're really, when you're a vet and you go through that, you're like, okay, I have to keep going here now, because you want to be looked at as a leader, and you can never, ever have your guys in your locker room look back and be like, man, that dude quit a couple games last year. Because then I think you lose all respect.
Hello, New York Giants. After yesterday. James, that was good stuff. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks, my man.
James Laurinaitis, Big Ten Network, SiriusXM, of course, Buckeye, longtime NFL player. Good stuff out of James. Thank him for getting up and hanging out with us. A.J. Hawk was with us one time recently when I was filling in for Gio, and now yeah. James Laurinaitis. So a lot of Big Ten linebackers.
You're the Buckeye dude, huh?
I guess, huh?
Yeah. And you got
or Mikey B really is the former Buckeye linebacker whisperer.
Yeah, there you go. And you had a running back, Howard Griffith.
Yep. Yes, that's right.
So, cool.
Buckeyes everywhere. Hmm. Buckeyes everywhere.
Some Buckeyes quarterback, not Buckeyes, but Big Ten quarterbacks. I'm trying to think of some great ones. Okay, that was short-lived.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's stay in Ohio. The Cavaliers still stink, and they're getting angrier. That's next on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thunder. Among the many things, Brian can be heard yelling in the hallways here at CBS Sports Radio /WFAN is Thunder. Thunder.
Is that how I say it?
Basically.
Thunder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's best I can do without being racist. 855-212.
How would you be racist?
No, because that's me. I stumble into Creole bogus and I get myself into trouble.
Oh, how would Creole bogus say it?
Pass. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. So a quick pause button on the football talk. How about some NBA talk? Now, we went into the weekend with LeBron scoring 57 to get the Cavs a win, and then they go back to being the Cavs of 2017 yesterday, hosting Atlanta, who's basically been terrible this year.
They lost 8 straight?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Mike shakes his head yes. Mike confirms our NBA savant.
It was in the Brad Heller update.
There it is.
Oh, was it? Don't listen to Brad.
So interesting that you listen to Brad's updates more than mine.
That's an interesting point, yes.
Hmm. And they were without, this wasn't in the update, they were without 5 of their rotation players. Was that in the update? Nope.
Who was?
Mm-hmm. Atlanta.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. I saw Dennis Schroeder out there.
He's not a rotation player, he's a starter.
Kent Bazemore, I think, was out there too.
He's a starter.
Yeah. So anyway, right. The Cavs lost yesterday, fell behind, rallied, had, I think, 3 shots in the last 6 seconds, to tie the game, couldn't do it, so they lose to the Hawks. And then, again, we're back to the drawing board of why do we stink right now? How do we fix this? What's going on? And we had Dwayne Wade after the game weigh in with, some heat to this, saying, you do have it. All right, so who needs to hear me recap? Let's hear actually Dwayne Wade say these things post-game yesterday.
I want one time for the first unit to get on the second unit because we blew a lead. I'm waiting for that day to happen. You know, but we definitely got to start off better, man. You know, it's, you know, I know it's a long season and you got time to correct it, but you don't want to be losing these games right here. There's, you know, a team to come in 1-8.
And he snuck it in there. Not in the cheesy, we got to be better men way, but he said we got to be better, comma, man. But he said better man. Back to back.
Come
here
on.
You go. Good job, D-Wade.
Thank you. Checks in the mail. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You have enough loot. And now let allow the sniping to begin because you have the bench guys, the reserves who are sniping at the starters. Hey, starters, give us a lead. You keep giving us this deficit we have to work with. And Cleveland's given up over 300 points in the first quarter on the season.
Yeah.
That's a lot. For Cleveland, come on.
Right.
And then what happened to Love? He gets three fouls in the first quarter, tears his jersey, then has to leave to go to the hospital. He got sick?
I don't know. This is so this going to
tear a muscle, ripping his jersey, Hulk Hogan style? What happened there?
Well, this is a side story in the NBA. These new Nike jerseys, I actually like a lot. They look cool, but they rip. Mm-hmm. They are just tearing apart. It's been an issue going back since the first time guys wore them like in practice and then certainly through the preseason now games. And Kevin Love gets called for a ticky-tack foul, doesn't like it, comes out of the game, sits on the scorer's table, pulls the jersey up in frustration, and it basically ripped right up the middle. So he walks off the bench. After, during a timeout, Ty Lue grabbed the clipboard and basically beat Kevin Love with it. I mean, screaming at him in his face during this timeout. Then Love leaves, and there's this cryptic, well, he went to the hospital for evaluation, and then he was home before the game was over, and no one really explained what was wrong that required the trip to the hospital. After, I mean, I don't know if his feelings were hurt because he got yelled at, so he went to the, you know, get a lollipop and a sticker from the doctor. but yeah, I mean, again, it's November. I can't waste any energy and thought on what's wrong with the Cavaliers now because it just doesn't matter.
I'm with you.
The things that could matter, and I even think what D. Wade said yesterday is just him being the guy to take the heat. Like, it was his turn to say something, so we talk about it and maybe somebody listens to it. But I would be worried about pouting, unhappy Kevin Love. If there was a discord between him and his head coach, that could worry me. But I think anything else, I mean, they've got months to figure this out.
And at least they won in one category, bench scoring. Maybe won 64-26, right? The bench outscored the Hawks bench, and I think I'm going to take LeBron's his way of entering a meeting. He went into T. Lou's office right after the game, just a towel and his sandals on, you know, shower sandals. I'm going to go to our meeting like that today.
I mean, some days you basically do.
That is not true.
I mean, it's
so untrue. I have clothes on.
Yeah, you've got clothes on, but
you have
the same lack of support that a towel provides to certain areas.
Well, so that's true.
I mean, except for the thin piece of cloth between that and the outside world.
Stop.
I mean, everything is there for the...
Mike, get me a towel and some sandals, dog. I'm going to go to a meeting like that. Just a towel and some
working
sandals.
On it.
Cool. Sorry. See, you think Spitz will kick me? He'll kick me out of the meeting immediately?
I don't think so.
Right?
I don't think you're allowed to get in trouble here.
What?
Yeah.
Get yelled at all the time. Period. Man. I hate going to the principal's office.
I don't even know where to begin. I'll get myself in trouble if I respond to that. Mike's
I was
laughing.
With you last week. We were both getting yelled at.
Who was getting yelled at last week?
We all recall that? We were both being reprimanded.
No, that was just me and you. Bogus had left.
Oh, Bogus had left at that point. Yeah. Oh, damn. You missed it. Let's see. I'll see if I can get you in trouble here in the next hour.
No, I went down first, and I was told the things that I should work on for the next time I filled in with you.
Is that what it was?
And I think on Friday I listened to those things, but then today I did something that I was told previously not to do. So Yeah.
So you're not coachable. Mm-hmm.
I'm coachable in like spurts. Mm-hmm. Oh, it doesn't spurts. Last.
Gotcha.
Right. Like, so today what I did wrong was...
We don't need to know. That's all right. No, don't tell us.
No, today I didn't do a read correctly, which I had done in the past. So I was doing them right. And then today I forgot how to do them correctly. So again, I'm coachable and then it goes away.
Okay.
Cool. So... You know, who knows, the next time Greg is on vacation or whatever, I'll probably mess up something new/old then as well. So sit tight. There's a tease for you. It's
okay.
Coming. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Already 2 hours through the show, but still A lot to get to, including a conversation in our final hour. Sage Rosenfels, longtime NFL QB. He'll hang out with us as we dive back in to Week 9 in the NFL. The Texans still punting on their season with their quarterback situation. And how about all those fights around the league last night? And the Raiders won on Sunday Night Football. It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.